This.
What are you doing that stupid trickery crap for?
Is Felger and Mass.
The continued ish.
On 98.5.
I just want to see what the fuss is about.
The Sports Hub.
But I'll probably hate it.
Hood shakes off two men and misses. The rebound belongs to Ojale. Celtics will have to get it across half court. It'll be a long 48 hours for Ty Lue, for LeBron James, and the Cavs. As they come to Boston, where they have had so much postseason success in the last 6 years, and they get blown out. The final score in Game 1 of the Eastern Conference Finals, it's all Celtics start to finish. Boston 108, Cleveland 83.
Okay, as promised, right back to your phones. If you want to weigh in on the Sox from the weekend, you're still welcome. It's technically a reentry Monday here on Felger and Maz. Jason in the car, what do you got for us?
LeBron's a fraud. He's just, and the sound you played going into the break, Ty Lue just figured out something about Tristan Thompson and Al Horford. Where was that game one?
Unbelievable.
That team is led by a bunch of dopes. LeBron James' press conference, I know you guys will hit on it. I don't even know why I'm so angry about it. I have no vested interest. But for him to say game one is a typical feel-out game for him is bogus. Game one last year in the Eastern Conference Finals, 38 points, 30 shots. Game one against Toronto in the previous round, torched him. Shut up. Stop making excuses. You fraud. The only thing that sucks more than him is Adam Jones. Good luck coming up with something negative about the Celtics tonight, you bum.
The only thing that's worse than LeBron is Adam Jones. Wow. Quite the statement. Quite the statement.
By the way, I finally have a more concrete stat for you on LeBron in Game 2.
Go ahead. Give it to me.
Okay. The last five times LeBron lost Game 1 in an Eastern Conference series, he's won the series. Okay. The last five times. 2011 against Chicago, 2013 Chicago, 14 against the Pacers, 2015 against the Bulls, 2018 against the Pacers. So he's lost Game 1. The last five times in the East, he's come back and won the series. There's your LeBron Game 1 stat.
Okay, let's see what that means. Let's see what that means, if that applies this year. Joe in Rosendale. Go ahead, Joe.
Boys, I gotta defend my boy TJ earlier from Rozzy. You guys are just giving no credit to the Celtics defense yesterday at all. I haven't heard you guys credit them once.
The defense? We have all day, Joe.
I mean, they shut LeBron down. He couldn't get to the rim. He could not penetrate. It was all about the defense yesterday. You guys are saying LeBron mails it in. And,
well, no. We've mentioned that. I just disagree with that. I don't think it was all about the Boston defense. I don't think LeBron played well or even really engaged.
See, Joe, you say he could not get to the rim. I say he would not go to the rim.
You don't think he tried to drive the lane at all?
Not like he usually does, no.
Really? Well, I think you have to just give credit to the Celtics defense because I think they shut the whole Cavs down. I think they shut LeBron down. They had different matchups on him all game, and he couldn't get to the net.
Okay, so Joe, you expect that the rest of the series then?
I don't expect that the rest of the series.
Why not?
I think LeBron. What's that?
Why not? Is the Celtics defense suddenly going to stop playing that way?
No, I think that the bum coach for the Cavs will figure something else out.
Whoa, hold on. So you're saying now Ty Lue's going to have an answer for Brad Stevens?
I don't think, as Jimmy, no one can have an answer for Coach Stevens.
Exactly. So what are you saying? So if you expect LeBron to improve this series, then what you're saying there was
going to win the series.
You're not being consistent, Joe. So you. You don't like Maz or anyone else saying that it was about LeBron not showing up yesterday. Then when I ask you, what is he going to do the rest of the series, you said he's going to have some answers. He's going to come back and play better. So does that mean the Celtics defense is suddenly going to stop? Or is LeBron going to push through it? I mean, it's okay to say that LeBron didn't show up and play well. I mean, I guess that's taking something away from the Celtics if you want to be sensitive about it. But both things are true. Celtics have a great defense, guys, you can't exploit. We talked about that a lot, and LeBron didn't show up. Why can't both be true?
They can. When LeBron wants a game, he's on a mission.
Okay, but that doesn't mean he gets it. And so I'm telling you that when he shows up and he engages, it still might not be enough.
It might not be, but you didn't get anywhere near his best in game one.
And then the green teamer who wants to get all pissy and sensey, then you have the right to say that was the Celtics defense. LeBron was engaged. He went to the rim. He tried to go to the rim. He shot a lot. He put the ball up a lot, and it wasn't good enough, and that was the Celtics defense. And then we'll say, yes, that was all the Celtics defense. But when he's deferring, when he opens up the game, passing to Kevin Love and deferring and standing up by the three-point line, you're saying LeBron was engaged and that was all the Celtics defense? Come on.
No. And the other thing is just watch how he ran up and down the floor.
He didn't.
Like, when LeBron wants to get back on D, he catches guys from behind and blocks their shots. Now, I'm not saying it's 100%, but he looked like he was playing a regular season game in January, if you ask me.
Joe in Norwood on the Sox. Go ahead, John.
Yeah, I think Joe Kelly's the eighth inning guy, and it's not even really that difficult of a discussion. He's given up one run in his last 15 outings, I think it was. He just had that one rough outing opening day, and everybody acts like he sucks and he can't get the job done. But I think it's Barnes in the seventh, Kelly in the eighth, Kimbrel in the ninth, and I think the quicker that Cora sets that maniac Ted Bundy guy looking aside and tells him you got the eighth inning, the better off he's going to be. And give him 10 or 15 outings out there and see how he does, and I think he's going to do great, and we're going to be fine in the bullpen. And in 2 months, it won't even be a discussion of how bad our bullpen is and how much we need help. And
okay, I'm going to stop you. What do you think? More defined role for Joe Kelly?
I just don't believe in Kelly. So I'm not a Kelly guy. Look,
would they be better with just defined roles, whether you believe in him or not?
Sure. Yeah.
I mean, I think all bullpens are better served with that.
And I would say more often than not, Cora has leaned on Kelly in the eighth more than the other guys. But I just don't believe in Joe Kelly's ability to get the big outs against a good team in a hostile environment. I don't. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe if he emerges, they need one of those guys to emerge as reliable and consistent, and then Thornburg and whatever else they can pick up along the way. So I'm not totally writing Kelly off. Barnes, I'm writing off. Kelly, I don't feel great about, and Smith, I don't know yet either, but we'll see.
Stan in Worcester. Hi, Stan. Stanley! Okay, and calls back. You know the number. Frank and Everett. Hi, Frank.
Hi, two things. Number one, I think the Celtics will win this series because they play as a team and not individuals, and they got balls, and I don't think Cleveland can handle them. And number two, a fun trade. Now that the Celtics prove they can win without Irving and Hayward, if you were the NBA...
Frank.
What?
Have they proven they can win without Irving and Hayward?
Well, I mean, they've come this far.
Well, yes, exactly. So you've beaten a couple bad Eastern... Not bad. You've beaten a couple of Eastern Conference teams. Does that mean they can win at the level we need them to win at without those guys?
Well, no, let me finish the trade. I'm saying for Anthony Davis, would you think they'd be better with Anthony Davis
yes.
on that team next year or Irving and Hayward? That's all. It's a fun trade. Okay. I'm not saying they're better without them.
Okay, so Kyrie Irving and Gordon Hayward for Anthony Davis.
No. I told you, I would trade, you know, one of the young guys and a pick for Davis. But no, I'm not giving up Irving.
So this is the thing you're talking about. They've proven they can win now without Irving and Hayward. Win what? I mean, can they win a couple rounds in the East?
Yeah.
Yes, definitely. Can they win championships without Gordon Hayward and Kyrie Irving?
No, please, not even worth asking. No, not good enough. In fact, if they have Hayward and Irving and they get to the finals, they probably lose to Golden State. But I'll tell you what, given the development of the young guys, I'll grant you that it might be a better series than I would have otherwise thought. Maybe it
That's big of you. Thank you.
Maybe it gets to six. it gets to six.
Mighty generous of you. Dave in the car. Hi, Dave.
Hey, what's up, guys? Awfully sunny on Planet Delusia today. Listen, you guys always accuse me of just being some dummy, you know, blind green teamer. All yesterday proved to me was that this team, and I would say confirmed to me, is this team just not afraid. They're not starstruck like maybe they were last year. But this series is still going seven, in my opinion, and it's a coin flip. And, you know, I don't think anyone should get carried away, but everyone should be happy with the way they played. Matt, I'm going to give you a compliment before I rip you, okay?
I watched
a little bit of the baseball show you did last night. And it's crazy to watch you talk about a topic that you're educated on, right? And it's clear that you know that topic and you know all the intricacies. And then it's crazy to think about how little you know about the NBA. And I'm just curious why you aren't more open-minded, like, to take other people's perspective and to why are you so tight-cornered about the coaching and about the defense. Like, why can't you just be a little bit more open-minded?
What's your point, Dave? Dave, you've confused me. What's your point?
Yeah, what point pissed you off?
My point is that, like, earlier this year, I called and said that this team, like, you guys said that the number one reason the Celtics made a jump from this year to last was Kyrie. And I said it wasn't. It was how good at defense they were. And you didn't just totally disagree. You called me nuts. But here we are. Kyrie's played zero postseason games. They're 9-4, and they completely befuddled LeBron and his team in the Eastern Conference Finals. And Tony leads off the show saying that it's more about them. Maybe I agree a little bit that they didn't, you know, play as hard or as, you know, you would expect them to, but I think it had a big part to do with how that run in the first quarter, that they just got kind of overwhelmed by our defense, and it was over by then.
They were complicit, Dave. They were complicit. So you're saying that, so like again, I guess I should have kept him on and asked him, but I don't like to engage the callers. So you're saying that's your defense. You're going to do that every night then. You're going to do that every night because that's how you play defense. That's how you've played defense this whole playoffs. That's how you play defense. That's your personnel. Those are your schemes. That wasn't really unusual. They weren't unusually or over the top good defensively yesterday. That's how they play defense, right?
In fact, I wouldn't even go so far as to say that it was any sort of smothering defense that the Celtics played.
They played their defense.
Yeah, they were in the right places. They made good switches. And I'll tell you, there's some.
So then you expect that every night because that's their defense. That travels. That's slump proof. That's their scheme. That's their personnel. That's how they play defense. You expect that every night, right? Of course you don't. Of course you don't. You expect Cleveland to bring more to the table next game, which inherently means they didn't bring everything to the table last game.
To me,
like I'm talking to two-year-olds.
Yeah, Cleveland didn't fight. That's what I mean. Cleveland didn't fight. So the Celtics showed up, like always. They do. And again, I say that as a compliment. They showed up. They were in the right places. They dug in. And you know what Cleveland did? LeBron passed out of it. They took some threes. They didn't really attack. They never get the Celtics on their heels. They half-assed it.
Look, here's a simple thing. If LeBron is fully engaged and you shut him down, I'll give you 100% credit. He wasn't fully engaged. And we can just go to shot attempts. I think he had 16. Was he at 16? Yeah, 5 of 16. He's averaging this playoffs over 22 shots a game. Last year, he averaged over 21 shots a game. In his 9 seasons in Cleveland, he averages 22 shots a game in the postseason. Okay.
Do you also have free throws there by any chance?
Because sure.
Some of those.
You bet. Absolutely. His free throw attempts, he's averaged almost 10 a game in the playoffs so far this year.
Okay, so last night was 6.
In his playoff career in Cleveland, it's 7. Okay? His NBA, including Miami, it's 7 a game. All right, so.
Well, just look at the turnovers, too.
Well, No. Stop. Don't confuse people. If he's shooting, he's engaged. Let's just make that the common denominator. Okay? If he shoots more than his career averages or his season averages in the postseason, I'll tell you, he's engaged and he's trying. But when he only attempts 16 shots and only gets to the line 2 or 3 times, those are well below his averages of what he usually does. So he was deferential yesterday.
I mean, I think so.
And fine, he was sloppy on top of it, Murray. But I'm talking about pure engagement. How do we judge engagement? Go to shot attempts.
Yeah, and look, even that, like, I would tell you, you just got to watch him, right?
Which, even beyond it, just watch.
He was not engaged in that game.
He walked up and down the floor. He didn't get back on defense. He sat out on the perimeter, and when the Celtics underplayed a screen and went under a screen, he stopped and either passed off or shot the jump shot. But not enough, because he only had 16 attempts. He didn't shoot. If he's engaged, he's going to the rim. He's shooting. He's taking over offensively. He did not do that yesterday. And then after the game, boy, was this guy a pud. I thought it was a sneaky, dinkish performance. What, like an all-time dink performance by LeBron after the game? I want to get to this next.
Yeah, he's the king.
Felger and Mez. The Sports Hub. Felger and Mez.
I love it.
You were right, Mez.
I just keep loving it more and more.
Bore my listeners to death.
I finally feel alive.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Sounds good.
I have zero level of concern at this stage. I didn't go to college, so it's not March Madness. You know, you get better throughout the series. You see ways you can get better throughout the series. But I've been down 0-1. I've been down 0-2. I've been down before in the postseason. But for me, there's never no level of concern, no matter how bad I played tonight with 7 turnovers, how inefficient I was shooting the ball, just as confident going into a series, no matter if it's a 0-0 series or I'm down 0-1. We have another opportunity to be better as a ball club coming in Tuesday night, and we'll see what happens.
All right, so do you think that was douchey there? He has zero level of concern. He didn't go to college. This isn't March Madness. It's not one and done. Was that douchey?
No, I don't think so.
Me neither. It sounded, his tone's douchey. His tone is dinkish. But the actual content, it's okay for LeBron, one of the great players of all time, to say, I'm not concerned. Like, that's fine. Yeah, that's okay. So, like, I just, that's just a little precursor for what I thought was dinkish. So that was fine. That one, not so much. A couple of these you've heard. This is all from LeBron in his post-game press conferences. It's also, there's something about the look, his outfit, The way he sits at the podium?
Totally, yes. Like sitting there shirt open, you know, so, tie hanging down with the mic sitting on his belly like it's a bear cam.
Right, exactly. So he sits back with the mic like this, like just sort of kind of casual about it. Like he's not just at the podium with his elbows on the table talking into the mic. He's like, you know, and I don't know.
It's a little GQ look.
It's just douchey. Do you know? I read this in the Globe. I spat out my organic butter coffee and I wasn't even drinking at the time when I read this. You know that outfit that he was wearing?
Yeah.
He makes his teammates wear it, too.
Yeah, no. The whole team has been dressed in the same.
The Cavaliers are wearing, this is from the Globe, Nora Princiotti's story.
Princiotti.
The Cavaliers are wearing his hand-picked suits to all their road playoff games, dressed all alike except for their bags, where LeBron carries one made out of alligator while the rest get to plain black leather.
Hmm. If he's buying the suits for these guys, then I have no problem with it. But if he's telling them to wear them and they have to go buy them with their own money, then that's screwed up.
Oh, he's not buying them. He's getting them for free from somebody. But keep going.
The whole thing I can't wrap my head around. This is like talking about video games. Like, you've got to be kidding me. How much time are you guys spending on this? So they all have to wear his hand-picked suits. And then they have bags. He gets the alligator. Everyone else gets black leather. Is that just the dumbest thing you've ever heard?
Well, he's got to stand out, you know.
Well, what the hell are you guys doing? You want to play basketball? Or what are you doing? Ah, it's so dinkish. It's so dinkish. Jimmy, so give me...
So wait, let me get this straight. They all wear the gray suits with vests. They all carry their bags. Then they don't show up and get their asses kicked. Is that the deal? In unison, they don't show up as a tandem?
I guess that's
team?
It. I guess that's it. Jimmy, how about the one that I just had you pull, where the guy asked him about the physicality of the Celtics and if that was a factor?
Jared Weiss, The Athletic. The Celtics defense was more physical and aggressive at the point of attack tonight than they were in the regular season. Was that something that surprised you guys when you were trying to get into your actions in the half court?
What do you mean?
Well, on their switches, they were...
Are you asking me, or were they more physical, or are you saying?
I'm saying they were. I'm asking, did that affect the way you guys executed your plays in the half court?
Physical basketball is part of the playoffs. That's what you expect. I don't think you can just say that because you're not on the floor. But physical basketball is a part of the postseason. So, you know, it's easy to make a narrative when you win or lose to say, okay, you guys play bad offensively and you lost and then you win. You're like, oh, you know, you play better. So, physical basketball started from game one in the Indiana series where Indiana punched us in the mouth too. In game one. And it's been like that throughout.
Dink. Dane, you know, unless you're out here, how do you know?
Yeah. No.
Well, of course none of us are out there. Like, what, you can say that to any question you're asked.
Are you asking me or are you saying that?
Well, I mean, how about like, how come he never does that when someone asks him how great he was? Well, you were really good on that thing. How come he never says, well, you're not out here. How do you know? But you know what I mean?
Sure, like,
I mean,
of course.
You could say that to any question you're asked. Only when you're challenged on something that doesn't look so good, do you say, well, I don't know how. You're not out here. How do you know?
I got to use that. That's a good way to twist that around.
It's like, pud.
Oh, yeah. He's a baby, please. Like, now, look, I happen to agree with him. I don't think the Celtics were overly physical. Like, I've seen them be more physical.
No, I think they laid back and let him shoot jump shots, and he agreed.
Yeah.
And he accepted it.
He was complicit.
Now, if he had gone to the rim and they had hammered him, then, you know, that'd be another thing. But I don't think that really happened. He only got to the line three times, shot six free throws.
Yeah, I would go so far as to say he was downright submissive, for crying out loud. But again, I don't know, maybe that's too strong a word. They weren't interested in fighting through it yesterday.
Okay, well, they asked LeBron, too, about the coverage of the Celtics defense. What did he say?
I've seen every coverage, pretty much. Oh. For me, game one has always been a fill-out game for me.
I see.
If you ever follow my history, so you know, I got a good sense of the way they played me today and you know, and how I play going into game two.
So, again, it's like, it'd be one thing, and we do this for Belichick all the time. Wrongly, but we do it. Like, oh, he's just feeling the opponent out. He's putting some bad film out. You know, like, if we say LeBron is setting up the opponent or LeBron's feeling it out, that's one thing. That's for us to say. When he just took a minus 32 and says, well, if you know my history, it's really just a feeling out process. And that's so dinkish.
Totally. It's completely consistent with who he is. Totally. Again, this is like the Terry Rozier calling him his own play a championship play. It's like, shut up. Good God. Just go out and play the game if you follow my history. How about saying we weren't very good tonight? I'm not alarmed. You know, it's game one. But we got to be better or we're not going to last very long.
Game one has always been a feeling out game for me if you've ever followed my history.
Like last year.
when he came in here and blew doors?
Exactly. Yep. He pulled down his pants and sat on your head. Seriously.
Oh, he's just so smug and dinkish in his suit that he makes everybody on his team wear. And the bags that they have to carry, except he gets the alligator bag. Everyone else is just plain leather.
He gets gator.
Oh, so douchey.
Yeah, LeBron gets the alligator bag.
But the prize goes for the question and answer about when the Cavs had cut it to 14 points at the beginning of the fourth quarter. What happened after the Celts had cut it to 14 points? This you've heard, but just play it again.
The start of the fourth, I think they cut it to 14. Do you have any idea what? I mean, I think they scored seven quick ones. Anything? What happened there?
What happened? We ran him the first possession. We ran him down all the way to two on the shot clock. Marcus Morris missed a jump shot, followed it up. He got it. They got a dunk. Came back down. We ran a set for Jordan Clarkson, and he came off and missed it. They rebounded it, and we came back on the defensive end, and we got a stop. They took it out on the sideline. Jason Tatum took the ball out, threw it to Marcus Smart in the short corner. He made a three. We come back down, missed another shot, and then Tatum came down and went 94 feet, did a Euro step, and made a right-hand layup timeout. There you go.
Who's applauding? Who was applauding?
That's embarrassing by all the people.
Who was
like a dog that did a trick?
Who was applauding?
I don't know. Like all the people that were the gathered media that were in the room.
Cleveland media.
Was there team personnel there, or is it all media? The media was applauding that?
No. I mean, my guess.
What do you think it was? Of course, it was the gathered media there covering that.
Okay. I bet you there were some team employees there too, though. Some yahoos.
All right. So, just first of all, quickly, it sounded like LeBron had a photographic memory and remembered every play after that 14-point lead, except he missed one key detail when he said, "We come back down," missed another shot, and then Tatum came down and went 94 feet, did a Euro step, and made a right-handed layup timeout. When he said, "We came down and missed another shot," LeBron turned the ball over on that possession.
Oh, funny how we left that out.
LeBron turned the ball over. He says, "We missed another shot." No. LeBron threw the ball away. Just go back and look at any play-by-play. ESPN, 10:59 left. LeBron James, bad pass. Jason Tatum steals. Look at any play-by-play sheet on NBA.com, ESPN.com. No, it wasn't a missed shot. LeBron James, bad pass. Turnover.
See, now I want to find it.
Okay, so in the middle of his photographic memory, he left out his turnover. Okay, but even still, even if that was an honest mistake, which it obviously wasn't, is it impressive that LeBron could do that? Are you impressed by that?
No, I'm not, actually.
A little of it.
Should anyone be able to do that?
Yeah. Not when the game's moving fast. Most people don't remember all the details. Most people don't. I mean, so now again, that sequence...
No, I'm being honest. Should we be impressed by that?
Part of it.
I'm not. I think at the end of the day, no matter what your job is, you should pretty much have a photographic memory of everything that went on in your day, especially at work.
Really?
Yeah.
No, so, I don't.
Well, I mean, can you tell us what happened last hour at the 2:30 block?
No.
Murray? No.
I mean, Murray? without looking at notes,
I'm
no.
mostly a burnout. Of course not.
So what are you just saying? You just said should be able to
I'm excused because of the way I've led my life. Yeah. But someone like LeBron James, like, no, I would expect him. He was at the top of his profession. I would expect him to have a photographic memory of everything going on.
Murray?
For you too, Felger, who is, you know, top of your game here in this market,
yeah,
the both of you,
I
at the end
you.
Of the day, you should be able to remember all the phone
yes,
calls in the 4 hours that
I
you're
can.
On the air.
Yep. Dakota and Braintree called and talked my face off about how he said that I told you guys that this was going to happen. Then Mike and Attleboro called and talked about some referee decision in 1997 that no one has any clue about. And then we got a call from Carlton and Norwell who said that Bill Belichick's been effectively fired. And then we hit the break. Something like that,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. I mean, no. Yeah, you're good at that.
Should we be able to do that?
Yeah. Some people. I mean, like the average person? No.
Then I got chirped by Jimmy for not having an opinion. Then Maz went off all half-cocked about how the Celtics didn't really earn it. It was the Cavs who didn't show up. And then Maz went into this thing about J.D. Martinez hitting an opposite field home run that doesn't really count because the roof was open in Toronto. And then we took a call from someone who swallowed the phone and we couldn't understand a thing that the guy said. We hung up and then we took a break.
The J.D. Martinez thing was last night. That was last night.
And then Murray did an impression of David Price. Dance Murray.
Murray, I would agree.
Then we asked Murray to Google something. It took him half an hour to figure it out, and the number was wrong.
I agree that, Murray, we should not use you as the standard. I would agree that that's a low bar.
But is that actually impressive? So I'm being honest. Like,
I say
doing
yes.
That, is that actually impressive, or was that him being douchey?
Well, it's a little bit of both, but because he clearly wanted everyone to know that he had the great recall. Like, he wanted everyone to know that. But I'm telling you, do you think Kyle Korver remembers any of that? That donkey? No way.
Or does it also obscure the fact that they had the 14, they had cut it to 14 points, then he came back in the game. I didn't even realize this. LeBron came back in the game after they had trimmed it to 14, and then it went back to 21.
Yeah, that's when he was surrounded by complete bums. That's
okay,
what I was talking about.
So wait a minute. When he was off the floor and it was all the bums on the floor, they trimmed it to 14. Then he comes back. It goes back up to 21. He has a turnover in the middle of it, but he goes on and on about everything else that happened in that sequence, but he doesn't mention his turnover or not closing on Horford, if you want. Smart, I mean, in the corner. And was that whole thing just a diversionary tactic?
It might have been
maybe
a diversionary.
I love
tactic.
This take from Felger. Cavs better without LeBron on the floor.
Well, I mean, all I know is that and I had to piece it back together because I wanted to see.
Wait, how many people would actually go back and look at the game log and go over every play to know that he was wrong or right? Like, you know, you just say, ooh, look at him. He knows what he's talking about.
So that one you had to. I mean, he was begging you to go back and check the game sheet on that, which I did. He missed his turnover. Oh, and the applause.
There you go.
Who was applauding? They deserve to be taken out back of the Fleet Center, Murray, and whacked across the face with a moist sausage, correct?
Yeah, I would agree.
Oh, that person deserves to. Those people. Who was applauding?
Oh, what a neat trick.
Oh, my God. And he's sitting there with the suit that he makes everybody else wear, but he gets the special alligator bag. Everyone else has the leather.
Yeah, you tell him, King.
So just that. So just that little bit of LeBron bashing. Got us. You think that was bad? Maz has had some of the greatest LeBron bashing segments of all time. We wanted to relive some of them. We'll come back with your phone calls and give you a special edition, a special retro edition of Squeaky Maz on LeBron James right after Murray's update.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Every afternoon, Felger and Maz bring you the science of sports.
Stupid me.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
I looked up Tim Duncan's post-game press conference from when the Spurs won the title. And you know what comment stuck out to me? What happened last year definitely helped our drive. It very easily could have hit us, but we reacted the right way. We got great leadership from the top in Pop. Right? Nothing but we and us. Like, not one I, not one me, not one my. I'm gonna read you the transcript of the LeBron one part of which you heard. When I made my decision, I knew what I wanted to do, but I knew it wasn't going to be easy. It's going to be the toughest task for me. To get back to the finals.
I
got to step up. Leadership. I'm not a very patient guy, but I knew I had to work on that. To be able to sit at one point during the season and see us. Oh my God. 19 and 20, I'm watching my team struggle and me sitting out 2 weeks and on and on and on. The whole thing is about him. Always. Oh my God.
Little bonus squeaky right there in honor of LeBron James. To your phones as promised. Oh, speaking of Dakota.
Okay, so before I get to game two, Michael, I don't think you're officially on the Brad Bought team. Last night, you wanted to push your narrative, changing things, going, hey, would you trade Brad Stevens? Now it's for LeBron James. Before, it was a first-round pick. Then it was a top-10 lottery pick. Then it was Kyrie Irving. Then it was Antonio Davis. Now you're trying to get people
Anthony.
Back to your old Michael Felger side of going, well, who would you rather have, Brad Stevens or LeBron
James? I'm just judging how nuts people have gotten, Dakota. That's
but
all.
No, I get it, but you're the one that's getting nuts, okay? Because that take is old. Move on from it, okay?
What's old? I'm just gauging how nuts people have gotten about the coach. Would you rather have the coach or the player? I mean, what's wrong with that?
But it's different when you're talking about Michael Jordan as one of the top players in NBA history. Nobody's ever going to choose Brad Stevens over LeBron
James. Hold on. No, on Friday we had people choosing Brad Stevens over LeBron James, didn't we?
I think so.
Definitely. I did. Yes.
LeBron at this age, I'll take the coach.
We know that this is the whole point. We've had people.
Especially if LeBron's out there going to throw the Eastern Conference Finals. That was a nice performance yesterday.
Did you say Rich in the morning says this is between Stevens and LeBron?
He said in the morning show on Friday. I was like, you got to be kidding me.
I'm not making this up, Dakota.
I like Rich.
Okay, so Michael, until further notice, you're off Dakota's island as it is for Brad Stevens until I hear more of you throughout the rest of the season.
I don't want to be on your stupid island.
Yeah, I don't want to be on your island either.
Tony, this wasn't for you, and Jimmy, this wasn't for you. This was about Mike.
I'm allowed to speak.
Because he used to be on an island when he goes on vacation, so he's off Dakota's island right now.
Neat.
Okay, now, for game two, this move, it's a chess match. Tyronn Lue lost the game one. Okay, he did. Now, game two, he's going to insert Tristan Thompson into the starting lineup, moving Korver to the bench. Well, at least that's what he should do, okay? This is going to be a big problem. Now, your topic for discussion for the next day and a half, because what happens now with Morris, who is supposed to be guarding LeBron? Because if Tristan Thompson's starting and Kevin Love, they have a decision to make on what they're going to do with Baines or leave Morris. Because if Morris is on the court, they have a major issue with Kevin Love and Tristan Thompson on the front court. So it's going to be real interesting to see what Brad Stevens does with Tristan Thompson in the starting lineup. Because now Marcus Morris, what are you going to do? If you start him, who are you going to not start?
Okay, do you need to worry about Tristan Thompson?
Coach Stevens.
I say no.
Defensively? I mean, if you're the Celtics...
In terms of rebounding, I think you do.
Rebounding, but in terms of guarding him?
So no. I say no. Again, and if Celtics fans are telling me that Marcus Morris is the glove and he's going to silence LeBron James, why is there a decision to make? You got to pick over those two, Morris stays on LeBron.
Exactly.
Yeah, I go, you know, if you want to put a smaller guy on Kevin Love... You know, if you want to put Tatum or Brown on Love and put Horford on Thompson or the other way around, fine. I don't think Tristan Thompson's going to beat me scoring 35 points.
But make no mistake, the coaching mismatch, when you hear Tyronn Lue, could you play the cut again, Murray?
Oh, yeah,
you
sure.
Played it earlier. This is like, this is just occurring to them. And the way he says it, it's like he wants to show you that, yep, we use advanced metrics too, and we have the advanced metrics. Like, here, this is Tyronn Lue and his adjustment he's going to make for game two.
Looking at the statistics over the last 3 years of at least 30 possessions, out of all the guys that guarded Al Horford, Tristan is number one in the league defending Al Horford. So that's a good thing to know.
Per 30 possessions. Get out of here.
Yeah, I thought it was per 100 was the metric you guys used.
Per 36 minutes, per 100 possessions.
So is Tristan Thompson going to go to the three-point line with Al Horford? And if he does, advantage Celtics.
All I'm saying is just the way he said that, it's like, why are you announcing what you're going to do? And why do you feel you have to prove it with your advanced metrics that you, I'm going to guess you don't even really get because you sort of, as Jimmy just said, you just botched it. It's per 100 possessions or per 36 minutes, right? And he chose per 30 possessions.
I'm not going to get him on that. Nobody gets it except for the nerds anyway.
This is what I'm saying. Why is he... I don't know, just the way he delivered that whole thing tells me he does not really have command of what's going on there.
No, I told you, I don't think Tristan Thompson's a series changer. I don't. I mean, maybe I'm the idiot.
Well,
the coaching thing is a mismatch.
They got to do something different. They can't have Kevin Love on Al Horford like they did yesterday and expect it to be any different. Love was awful in that game.
And they have to be better. The Celtics had too many layups, too many dunks, too many uncontested shots. Thompson makes them better defensively than Korver. Period, story over.
Sure.
So, I'll give him that. But then he's got to tell me what his advanced metrics show. You have no clue, dude. You just made it obvious he has no clue. And if those are so resounding, why did it take you between game one and game two to do it? Why didn't you do it before game one? Logan and Methuen. Hi, Logan.
Hey, I'm on the air, finally. Jeez, man. That was awesome. Nice to talk to you guys.
Nice to talk
to
you.
My point is today, Celtics fans, especially on, you know, the internet and everywhere else, they are slandering Cavs fans and LeBron. I think we need to wait. I think we need to just hold up. We need to fight. We need to win this series. When the clock goes 00.00 in game four that we win, I will celebrate. These people are celebrating too early. I don't like that guy with the whiny face that's been all over the internet. That doesn't represent us Boston fans well. I don't like it.
Who's he? You need to be more specific, but I'm going to...
I have no idea what the hell he's talking about.
Are Celtics fans getting ahead of themselves?
Yes, totally. Again, and look, I understand everybody's in the hype of the Philly series still. You won the Milwaukee series. You won the Philly series in five. LeBron came in, you kicked his ass in game one. And now you're starting to think that this team's going to the finals. And they might be. But I'm just telling you, don't base it on game one. Cleveland didn't show.
Right, everybody calm down. Honestly, I wouldn't be shocked if the Celtics won these first couple of games. Well, they got the first one. They win. They go 2-0 at home and then lose four straight. Ended up losing this series.
See, I listen to these people and I hear them saying, you know, it was the Celtics defense that stifled LeBron. Stifled him? He didn't try. Have you ever watched the guy play at his best? You know what it's like? He just walks up, spits in your face, steps on your head, dunks, and they call you for a foul in the process. That's what the whole thing is like. So when he wants to play, he's going to take over.
Okay, but here's what I think.
For long it doesn't mean they're going to win the game.
Exactly.
But you're going to be in for a fight. You're going to be in for a game. Cleveland's problems at the defensive end are real. But if you go back and look at some of the shots they missed in this game too, holy crap, there were guys wide open in some of these and they just miss. They just miss. So, again, I don't know. They might miss the whole series. Who the hell knows? I can't predict that. But I'm telling you, they're better than they played in Game 1.
This is Felger and Mass on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Boys and girls, I'm here today to present an exciting opportunity for togetherness.
Felger and Mass.
That's awesome.
Of course it is.
That's great.
98.5, The Sports Hub.
One team showed up, the other team didn't. The Boston Celtics showed up ready to play. Obviously, the Cleveland Cavaliers had some time off, but the bottom line is it was an embarrassing performance by Cleveland. You could give Boston a lot of credit. Look at Jason Tatum, the way he boogied on them. Look at Marcus Morris. He was inserted into the starting lineup. He showed up. Al Horford hit his first five shots. Jaylen Brown hit 7 of 10 shots. And Jaylen Brown has been telling me from last summer, I'm waiting. We want Cleveland. We want LeBron. We're not scared of anybody. We don't care who's in front of our face. We believe we've got the horses to beat anybody. Now, obviously, that was before Gordon Hayward and Kyrie Irving went down. But even after they went down, he still didn't change his tune. They're here in the Eastern Conference Finals. They show up in Game 1, and they bum-rush the Cleveland Cavaliers. They embarrassed them. It's just that simple. And LeBron James looked incredibly lethargic. It looked like something was wrong with him, to be quite honest with you. Or he was just completely indifferent to playing Game 1. I don't suspect that that will happen for the rest of the series, no question. But the greatest player in the world right now, who walked into this series averaging 34-9-9, was virtually non-existent all afternoon long. They were a minus 32 with LeBron James on the floor. You tell me what that means. I can tell you if you want to.
Stephen A. Smith, established NBA reporter, not afraid to just call it as he sees it. LeBron was lethargic, indifferent, to the point where he wondered if something was wrong. He didn't show up, which has happened from time to time with LeBron. The question is, why? Why did he do that? Is he setting the Celtics up, assessing them? As he said in the post-game press conference, is he exposing his teammates so the world sees that he's playing with a bunch of bums so he can't lose? Either he, you know, carries these bums to the NBA Finals, or if they lose to the Celtics, it ain't my fault. You say I'm playing with a bunch of suck, right? Or is he shutting her down early because he knows it's not good enough? And LeBron has been known to shut it down in the past. Why did he do what he did yesterday? I can't tell you why he did what he did yesterday. All I'll argue with you on is that he did it. He didn't show up.
See, I don't think it was the last one, meaning that I don't think he looks at it and says, I'm going to shut it down. We're going to lose anyway. Because he would have done it earlier in the playoffs.
They would have done it against Indiana. He would have done it against Indiana, rather.
Right. He had a perfect opportunity. Like, you know, he could have packed it in early. That's it. I'm done. I'm out. See you later. Goodbye, Cleveland. I don't think he wants to leave like that again. I think because the you know, it was so hurtful the first time that now I think he can put it on the owner. Like, put it on him again.
Well, right, and but so last night sort of helps everybody see, look what I'm surrounded with.
I'm just, listen.
So when he comes in and defers, he's giving everyone around him a chance to prove themselves, and he knows they can't. And so he gets to show everybody, see, this is what I got. We're not good enough.
See, he's got a motive, that I know. Because I just think the guy's plotting. You know, he's contrived. He's manipulative, conniving, all of those things. He's very, very deliberate. He knows exactly what he's doing all the time.
Dan and Worcester, what do you think?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good. What do you got?
Great show. I think you guys are right on with LeBron. I mean, he shut it down early in the game. I never seen anybody not even go past half court after he missed a basket. I mean, that's embarrassing if I'm a Cleveland fan. I'm looking at LeBron saying, okay, he's the star of the game. He's the one that runs the whole team. He's usually flying up and down the court, blocking shots, making baskets, driving in.
At least shooting, Dan. At least he's shooting. When you know he's engaged and he's fully invested and he wants it, he establishes himself early offensively. He does. By taking the ball to the rim, shooting, taking over the game early, offensively. And then he spreads the ball and, you know, maybe others get involved once he's softened everybody up. But his big games here, when he's coming here and won, you've known it. You've seen it from the opening whistle. And in this game, he was setting up Kevin Love on screen and rolls and whatnot, and trying to get Kevin Love his shot. And when you see that, it's like, what are you doing? What are you doing and why are you doing it?
See, to me, the big thing with him is going to the hoop. I mean, that's his game. He knows he's not a great jump shooter. His game is going to the basket, and then if you want to start cheating and collapsing and double teaming or whatever else, he kicks the ball to the open guy and they start making him, and then you're on the run. But it all starts with him with going to the basket.
It's rare that I see him do that in game one of a series, though. It's usually as it goes on and he knows it's not good enough, and then, okay, what's the point? I'll show you just how much my team sucks. I'll let them take this game over, and, you know, that's how he loses. I rarely see it in game one.
No.
Like, that was early.
Very. Very.
You're listening to Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.